Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are jumping in right away on this show. It happens to be election month. Those of you that are still waiting from your ballots from Pima County Recorder, like myself, still haven't received them, but we're jumping right in with Republican Senate candidate Carrie Lake live on the line in the Jump In studios. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Grant, and hello, everyone down in Tucson. How's it going this morning?
Hey, we are super excited to be here, Carrie, and you've taken a lot of time to campaign in the Old Pueblo. I think I've seen you here for more events than I've seen probably our current senators and our current House representative in Raul Grijalva combined. What makes the Old Pueblo so important, so special for you?
You know, I love Tucson, and I want to help restore Tucson to its kind of golden days, because it used to have, it was thriving before, and I hate what's happened. The really bad city leadership and county leadership down there has driven the people to want to change, and we're seeing that in our numbers. We have a lot of support in Tucson. Everyone's saying something's got to give. We can't continue to watch as businesses are boarded up, our streets are less safe, the chronic street homelessness is spreading. And so we have one of our headquarters down there in Tucson. We really believe in the people in Pima County, that they want to change and they don't like the direction that Pima County is going. And we want to represent the people and actually help turn around some of these blue states and blue counties so that they are functioning better and more people want to come in and live there and invest and make Tucson a thriving city once again.
Recent poll numbers are suggesting that this race is absolutely neck and neck right now. I saw a Newsweek article just yesterday saying that a poll had the race within 3.7 percentage points, and their margin of error was essentially 3 percentage points. So, I mean, this thing is going to come right down to the wire, huh?
It sure is. We need people to get out and vote. Right now, voting has started. I hate that people haven't received their mail-in ballots. They were supposed to be here a week ago in your mailbox, but we keep being told that they're arriving any day. So the minute you get that mail-in ballot, you sit down and you fill it out, vote for President Trump, vote for Carrie Lake, for U.S. Senate, and vote Republican all the way down. We are going to make this country great again. And if you aren't doing mail-in voting, and if you're somebody who votes, like to go in and vote, go to one of your vote centers, and they're open now. You don't have to wait until Election Day. And a lot of people like to wait until Election Day. I like to vote on Election Day, but I actually voted a week ago because we saw what happened in 2022 when Election Day was not functioning here in Maricopa County. We just can't wait until the very end and then have some problem crop up and then we are unable to vote. So we're encouraging everybody to get out and vote, fill out their ballots, turn them in at a voting center or a drop box or right down there at the county. Or if you have to, you can put it in a mailbox. But just get those ballots turned in.
Without a doubt, the most important civic duty that we could possibly all have together here, Carrie. Hey, last Wednesday, we had the opportunity to finally get a better look at both candidates together in the first and potentially only debate between you and your competitor. And it looks like you did pretty good in that debate. To quote a recent Tim Steller Facebook post, and Tim is a local columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, who is far left of center. And Tim literally wrote on Facebook, "I only saw a little bit of the debate last night, but is it true that Gallego sucked, right? He did in the bit I saw, and the reactions I've seen suggest the same." Oh my goodness, Carrie.
Wow.
How you feeling after that debate?
Well, it was the second debate. The first one my opponent didn't show up for, but he did show up for this debate, and I feel really good. I wish it would have been 2 or 3 hours because I barely scratched the surface on who he really is. Literally everything he says is a lie. His first 2 minutes describing his childhood and how he grew up, that's all a lie. We're finding out that he did not sleep on the floor. He did not live in South Chicago. He lived in Evergreen Park, which is a nice suburb of Chicago. He did not grow up dirt poor. His dad actually made more money than the average employee in at that time. And we're also finding out that his dad didn't just, like Ruben said, dabble in drug dealing. His dad was a convicted felon, a Mexican drug trafficker, who was caught with 80 kilos of high-grade cocaine and cannabis and was actually working for the cartels. Now, this has not been told in the media. The media has not dug into him. They've not put any of this information out. They've just taken the story Ruben has given and run with it rather than doing any digging at all. And we're also finding out when he left his wife when she was 9 months pregnant, serving her divorce papers right before Christmas, so she had to have that baby all alone, and so he could run off with a D.C. lobbyist. We're finding out that even after a judge demanded that his divorce documents be released and unsealed, the appellate court said the same thing. Ruben Gallego has spent close to $1 million to try to prevent us from seeing what's in those divorce papers. He's even gone to the Arizona Supreme Court begging them to stop the release. There's something very bad. Some people have suggested it could be it could be spousal abuse, drug use. We just don't know, because he's fighting the release of these records. And we as voters have the right to know who we're electing. I'm encouraging anybody who's even thinking of voting for Ruben Gallego to hold off until you find out what's in these records, because we can't put somebody who would abuse their wife, who would use drugs, in the United States Senate. We must wait to, if you're going to vote for Ruben, until you find out what's in these records.
Now, they moved those records, Carrie, to Yavapai County, interestingly enough. And I understand that Ruben and Kate Gallego were not residents of Yavapai County. It seems odd to me that they would have moved their divorce to a whole different county. Why do you think that was?
Well, I don't even believe it's legal. I'm not sure why they were able to do that. That's a big question, and we need to look into that. And I think it was to keep it out of the public eye. I think there's I believe Ruben Gallego committed some very, very terrible actions against his wife and his family, and he wants to keep that from the public eye. And so they moved it to Yavapai County. They got the record sealed. Nobody gets their record sealed. Now, he's going to say, we're trying to protect our son. The judge has already put protections in for the son. Everything regarding the son will be redacted, so the son will not be, there'll be nothing about the son in there. But, you know, many people have more than speculated that he, and you can look at his record. He's got an abusive record with women. When he worked at the city council, he had a harassment complaint against him for just degrading conversations with women. One intern complained. He got her fired. He went over to the state legislature. He had more harassment complaints, including a sexual harassment complaint. You know, this is a guy who calls Trump supporters, quote, the worst people in the world and dumb. And he wants to represent us when he hates more than half of the state. I think that's really despicable, frankly, and it's unbecoming. It's behavior unbecoming of a United States senator and, frankly, unbecoming of a congressman. And as this comes out, I believe he should just resign from office. If we're going to see that he's a wife beater, then we really should look at demanding his resignation from Congress.
When are we expecting to see those results from the Arizona Supreme Court? Is this something we're going to get a ruling on today or tomorrow?
Well, the appellate court ruled that they need to be given to the public by the 17th, which I believe is tomorrow. So hopefully the Arizona Supreme Court will act, and hopefully they'll do the right thing. He's a public figure. He's talked publicly about his divorce. We have a right to be able to fact-check him on his divorce, and I sure wish that the journalists, or the propagandists, I should call them, would do their job and start looking into his background. Literally everything he has said is a lie about sleeping on the floor, living in a small apartment, a one-room apartment in South Chicago. It's all a lie. He's just like Tim Walz is lying about him, his background. Kamala's lying about hers. The Democrats are pushing forth candidates, making up their backstory, funneling money into them through this Act Blue, what appears to be a scheme of laundering money. And we just found out yesterday that Ruben Gallego was caught up in that Act Blue scheme. It's absolutely horrible. The people are not being told the truth. It's the media is committing fraud against the public by not doing their job and digging into who these people are who are running for very, very high offices in our country. The people of Arizona know me. I've been in their homes for 30 years. My life is an open book. I've been fact-checked. The media is constantly on me. So, you know, everyone knows who I am, but they don't know who Ruben Gallego is, and they're just simply believing his bogus, fictional story.
Well, you did a great job on the debate last Wednesday. Hopefully our listeners have had an opportunity to check that one out. Obviously, we might want to hold on those ballots until we get the results.
Go to my Twitter page. It's right there pinned at the top. Anybody who's kind of on the fence or thinking of voting for Ruben, I really encourage you to just ask them to sit down and watch the debate. And then if they still want to vote for him afterward, fine. But I think they should see what he has talked about and what he has voted for in the debate. Open borders. He wants to defund the police. He wants federal dollars going into sanctuary cities, federal dollars going into sex changes for prisoners. This is crazy stuff. He wants men to participate in women's sports and boys to be in the bathrooms with our girls at school. We all know this is wrong. It's not right, and we need to make sure we vote. Get rid of all these crazy ideas that have been thrown at us the last few years. Get back to some common sense. Bring our great economy back, our strong border back. Bring back safe streets, good jobs, and take the people who've poured in over the last 3.5 years illegally under the Biden invasion. We need to repatriate them back to their homeland.
No, we appreciate all of your efforts and your visits here to the Old Pueblo. Unfortunately, we do have to wait to hold our votes on sort of a government-imposed ballot delay over here either way. But we do appreciate the advice, and we appreciate you taking the time both to come and jump in Tucson right. and to visit the Old Pueblo and make it such an important part of your campaign, Carrie.
I'll be down there again on Friday, so I hope to see you all. We'll be down doing some work at the voting centers, and keep an eye out for our bus. We're currently on it right now, going all over Phoenix and Maricopa County today. So we'll see you guys on Friday.
Looking forward to seeing you down here in the 520, Carrie. Thanks again for joining us on Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this Wednesday morning. Homecoming week coming up at the University of Arizona. Everyone getting really excited for an early 1 p.m. kickoff against the Colorado Buffaloes. They really picked that game time right. When you're looking at what the weather is going to be like, I think there's a high of 71 degrees on Saturday. And if we would have done this game even 1 week earlier, it would have been an absolute broiler out there. So kudos out to the university for putting that one together. But homecoming brings a lot of business, a lot of activity to Southern Arizona, right? Your restaurants will be filled up. Your hotels are going to be filled up. The streets are going to be filled with our alumni as they come back to the Old Pueblo and celebrate their glory days. And maybe, just maybe, they don't get to see Tucson as shiny and nice as it was a decade or two ago when I graduated from the university, right? We've got a lot of maladies going on over here and a lot of concerns, not just with the city of Tucson, but even with the athletic program as a whole. Right. The most recent House versus NCAA ruling suggests that there's going to be a massive revenue sharing program with the universities, and they're going to have to begin to pay the student athletes. Now, those of us in the restaurant business and local Tucson businesses are also being asked to pay the student athletes, either through the collectives, which have been groups that, with just a bit of arm's length away from the university, have been hoarding monies together, taking donations to pay the players on the side. You may have heard of some of these collectives up front. And there are direct NIL deals with the players as well. At this point, I could legally hire Caleb Love to come in and say, I love Union Public House, and have him, you know, pitch his wares on social media. Now, what I can't do is have Caleb Love or any of the teams show up in U of A gear. The Block A, the Wildcat head, the Wildcat paw, all trademarked, right? So this creates a lot of challenges for those of us in the business world that want to support the University of Arizona through NIL, but don't always have either the means or all the players having such recognition that without their uniforms, we would know who they are. The girls' softball team, for example, at the U of A, big customers of the Maverick, and they love to come down and country dance. And we've been talking with them and their coach about ways that we might be able to do some sort of NIL deal. But while a picture of 30 pretty girls from a softball team makes some sense for us from an advertising perspective, without that U of A, you might not be able to make that connection. So what happens in this world? Well, in general, you can put them in, say, a baseball or softball outfit. I could hire Caleb Love to stand it with a white and jersey with red and blue stripes and hold a basketball on a basketball court. It looks an awful lot like the U of A logo, right? Or a U of A uniforms, but it's just lacking the logo. This is perfectly acceptable. You've seen this on Gatorade bottles where professional athletes support the product, but they can't bring their team along for the ride. Something happened in Tucson this week that echoes this as well, too, when Republican sheriff candidate Heather Lappin was suspended for potentially using campaign violations by having sheriff deputies in uniform campaigning for her and some pictures that she put on Facebook. But upon further review of these pictures, the officer in question actually isn't in uniform. He's in olive drab pants. He's in a tan collared shirt. These are certainly the colors of the Pima County Sheriff Department. But are these, in fact, Sheriff Department uniforms? Does the Sheriff Department have tan and drab green trademarked in some capacity? I suggest not. And this actually lies in a fine line. In the same way we can play the game with a U of A athlete and put a Caleb Love in a basketball jersey, why can't a sheriff candidate or potentially sheriff's deputies do the same thing? There is the Hatch Act, right, that prevents, it's a federal law that prevents using public monies and whatnot during the campaign process. But kind of like Chris Ackerley and the Pima County treasurer job, the sheriff job is a job. This is a working position. This isn't something that you just get to show up every 2 weeks and make a thumbs up or thumbs down on, right? He's got to be there every single day. Now, I appreciate and respect all of our Pima County sheriff's officers, including Sheriff Nanos. However, it seems to me that we've really crossed a line here when we expect that somehow they can't use the same color pants or shirt as a sheriff uniform. How would you expect the challenger in an elected position like this to not be part of the department in some capacity? Would you even want that? If I ran for sheriff, the immediate outcry would say, stay in your lane, Kruger. You don't know what you're talking about. Get back to serving pizzas or burgers somewhere. You don't understand how the sheriff department works because it's a job. We need somebody from the inside. Just like the treasurer, it's a job. It may be an elected position because of the way our state constitution was crafted, the way certain county positions need to be elected, right? Sheriff is elected. The head of TPD, right, not elected. That's an appointed position. And it might even be better to be an appointed position, but it's not. This one happens to be an elected position. And I recommend highly to Sheriff Nanos to not use this particular uniform gaffe for public gain during an election process. We're 3 weeks away. And this comes across as very short-sighted and very petty in a race where you would expect your competitor to essentially also be another sheriff's deputy. How else would we want it to be? So, and my food for thought for today, think about that one. Your NIL uniforms, your sheriff uniforms, there is a comparison between those ones over here. And I think we're going to get some interesting news coming out about this particular sheriff race over just the next few days. And I think that we're ultimately going to get Lieutenant Lappin on our shows over here to talk about this. There's a bit of a gag order on this right now. So I took the liberty to come out and give you my take on this one. A complicated situation, but a very important local race that I want you listeners to pay attention to. What we're going to have coming up after the break, though, are some really awesome wins for Rio Nuevo. Right? Over the next few weeks, we're going to see the Dusk Music Festival, right? In the second week of November, we had Paige Rep on a few weeks ago talking about the NIL deals that he did with that post move for the basketball team. And we're going to get the home opener for the Tucson Roadrunners coming up this Saturday. They've got home games both Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. Both of those are brought to you and buoyed and supported by Rio Nuevo. I bang on Rio Nuevo once in a while for perhaps being incentivized to create too many restaurants downtown. But these events and these teams are absolute wins for our community. We should all be out there supporting them. When we come back after the break, we're going to bring in Tucson Roadrunners president Bob Hoffman talking all things hockey. You know I'm a big pimp for the puck here on Jump In Tucson. Don't go anywhere. Bob Hoffman from the Roadrunners coming up after the break. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and Jump In Tucson focuses on all things local. 5 days a week, 9 to 10 a.m. on Tuesdays, you get General Ted Maxwell from the SALC. Yesterday, he had a great engaging conversation with Joe Snell from Sun Corridor. On Wednesdays, you get my lovely self over here. Tomorrow on Thursday, you've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and he's bringing in Greg Taylor and Cassidy Hoffman, owners of Tucson Adventure Rentals. They're going to talk about all things awesome desert tours that you can do when you're visiting Tucson. Perhaps some of our homecoming guests might want to take a desert tour out there when they come back to the old Pueblo. And bookending the week, we've of course got Dr. Ed Ackerley on Mondays and Fridays. But right now, we're joined in the KVOI studios by Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Grant. Thanks for having me. And it's great. Yeah, I hear that rundown. And it just really kind of lets you know and solidifies how many things are going on in Tucson and how many great things are happening. I mean, that's a great lineup and so many good things happening, and the Roadrunners are happy to be whatever small part of that we can be.
No, we're always appreciative of having you come on the show and tell us what's new and cooking with the Roadrunners. It's been a pretty exciting off season. I mean, we almost lost this team, and we could have lost them to Phoenix, and we didn't. How often do we get a win against Phoenix here in Tucson? Not too often, right, Bob? And you guys are staying, and I couldn't be more excited.
Thanks, Grant. Yeah, no, it was a great win, and a great win really, precipitated by the voice of our fans, our partners, and of this city, of the entire Southern Arizona region, voicing and saying, we're not losing another team. The Roadrunners are Tucson's own. This is what we're all about. You know, this is hockey in the desert down here. And those voices, I think, really made a big difference. And we're excited to be, getting through that part of the early bit of the summer and then now putting the team together, getting our roster in place and working with, you know, some changes and some different things with it as far as where our affiliation now lies with the Utah Hockey Club and not with the Arizona Coyotes. So there are some changes and some moving pieces that are in there with that, but that doesn't change the fact that the Roadrunners will be out there wearing that great crest on their jerseys this Saturday night for the opening night, and we couldn't be any happier.
So we've got a home stint against Texas coming up on Saturday and Sunday, right? What time are those games?
Yep, correct. Saturday night is the home opener, big night. That's at 7 p.m., and then a 4 o'clock start a little bit earlier on Sunday. So back-to-back games this weekend against the Texas Stars, who's always been a big rival of ours. We've had a good playoff history with them in the past of them knocking us out 1 year when we thought we were the team that was going to go all the way to the championship. So we've got a little bit of payback for them. I've had a great history in playing the Stars, and it gets kicked off this Saturday night. Some fun events going on prior to the game with our red carpet. That's been one of our biggest annual traditions we've done now for the past 6 seasons, of our players getting dropped off in fancy exotic cars and right there at the front of the entrance as they arrive. Come and celebrate early. That'll start at around 4:30, where you can get your first glance at the players as they make their way into the arena, signing autographs and just getting ready for the opener. And then stick around when that ends at around 5 o'clock. We've got a tailgate party with music, food down on the plaza just to the north of the Tucson Arena. So come and make a day of it and spend opening day with the Roadrunners.
That's amazing. And we've got a home stint coming up. So even after this weekend, the subsequent weekend, the Bakersfield Condors are coming into town on both Friday and Saturday, right?
Yep. Nope. Started the year this past weekend with 2 games on the road in Colorado, and then the schedule makers kind to us to get us home for 4 games so that we can introduce this new club to the fans and kind of hopefully get off to a great start, as we were one of the best teams on home ice last year in the American Hockey League, setting a franchise record for the most wins and points on home ice. So hopefully we can carry that over this season. A lot of the same players are back, but some new faces as well, and on paper at least the team looks really good. And this past weekend when you had that first chance to see them on the ice in Colorado, didn't disappoint. They looked really good. A lot of great talent on this club.
So talking about that relationship with the now Utah Hockey Club, for those listeners that aren't so familiar with hockey over here, the Phoenix Coyotes have left, right? The team owner sold that team to a group out of Utah that owns the Utah Jazz. They've moved up and named themselves the Utah Hockey Club for this year. We are still, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, Bob, but we're still essentially the minor league AHL franchise of the Utah hockey team.
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, it's a model very similar to what a lot of people understand with baseball, of AAA, AA, and so on. The American Hockey League, the league that the Roadrunners play in, is the AAA affiliate league of the NHL. So there are 32 NHL clubs and 32 AHL clubs. Everybody's got a dance partner. We were lined up since our inception back in 2016 with the Coyotes, but with that transaction that you detailed there just a few seconds ago. Now we are hooked with the Utah Hockey Club. Now, the interesting part to that is it's, yes, a new affiliation, and you'll see a new NHL team patch on the shoulder of our uniforms. It's no longer the Coyote Kachina, but instead it's the Utah Hockey Club logo there. But the interesting part of that is that a lot of those faces and a lot of the names are the same. Because of that transaction, it's essentially that the Coyotes hockey operations department, the hockey side of things, moved north to Utah. So General Manager Bill Armstrong and his vision is still right in place of what he's trying to do, and they're off to a great start up there in the NHL at 3-1. So winning three of their first four games and looking very good doing it has been a great start for the Utah team. And now that development system and that pipeline, it's nothing different. The difference to that, if we would have, say, went and affiliated with a different team and just throw one out there like the St. Louis Blues, and we would have had all new coaches, all new hockey operation people, all new scouts, and all new players. And that would have been quite a transition, I think, for our fans after the summer, the early part of the summer that had some of that uncertainty in there. I think that would have been a little disconcerting. So I'm happy that, you know, those fan favorites, Matthew Vallalta, Curtis Douglas, the guys that they've grown accustomed to over the past several seasons, back in the fold wearing the same uniforms with the same coaches and, having that same pipeline, if you will, of the same system.
So does that relationship change then, like the travel? Does it make it difficult to move players up and down? Or are these guys flying either way and it's not such a big deal to transfer between Utah and Tucson?
Well, I honestly, looking forward some, I think there will be a moment or two that might have a small impact and have a little bit of an impact in that decision making. Thus far, no, because the season's just started. But where it will really impact, Grant, would be if the Coyotes were at home and playing a game on a Wednesday and they were playing Buffalo and somebody got hurt in the morning skate. Maybe they tweaked their hamstring and they did wanted to make sure they had backup that night. If we were in town down in Tucson, then we could have gotten in a car and driven up there and been there in an hour and a half. Now that scenario probably would lead to that the player wouldn't get called up because he probably couldn't make it to where Utah is in time to be a part of that pregame process, to be a part of whatever game planning was going on for the night. So things kind of need to move a little bit quicker and cycle as far as maybe there needs to be a 12-hour advanced thought process to get a guy called up, whereas to a person might have been called up to the desert or, up to the valley there and been up there in 2 hours, just pack a hockey bag, get in a car and go. So where that may impact us some is, fans, I'm sure, diehard fans at least have seen times where they've expected to see a player in the lineup that night and they're just not there. And what they don't know is that player might have been called up and gotten in a car at 3 or 4 in the afternoon to drive to Phoenix. That situation and scenario won't happen anymore. More than likely, those call-ups would happen then the next morning, and they would have a full 24-hour cycle to get up and into the system with Utah.
Does that give the Utah Hockey Club some incentive to, quote-unquote, take our team at some point and perhaps move them to a suburb of Salt Lake or some other major Utah city that would be closer?
It's possible that they would look to that at some point. The affiliation agreement to start with Utah is 3 years, so we'll get it all figured out and learn how each other works over the next 3 seasons and what some of the pros and cons of that travel and that relationship, what those kind of look like. They don't own an American League franchise, so they don't have that ability yet to do that. So the best thing to do is right now 22 of the 32 teams are owned by their NHL affiliate, while 10 of them are what are called independently owned. We're an independently owned team. So, they need to find, as a team not owning their own American League franchise, somebody to work with and somebody to be that affiliation. And I think Tucson's shown to be a great town with, we've built a great culture here and have developed so many players that have moved on to the NHL, coaches that have moved on to the NHL, that I think we've kind of laid the groundwork and shown that track record of what this market can be towards developing players, which is a big piece of it. It's not just them learning how to be better on the ice. It's them learning how to be a pro and how to deal with fans and, how to kind of get their feet wet as a 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old player coming right out of juniors or right out of college. It's not that easy just to step right into a locker room with grown men, working on at the highest level in the NHL. So a lot of those players need that development, and we've shown we're a great development place for NHL players.
No, Tucson has always been more of a hockey town than you might expect, you know, based on our topography and temperature over here, right? We do tend to attract a lot of immigrants from Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, parts of Ontario and whatnot to come down here and play. I remember gleefully going to the Ice Cats games, you know, many years. It used to be the only U of A sport where you could buy an adult beverage at as well, too. So, like, it's, we've certainly had a history of supporting and loving hockey over here. Who didn't love the Ice Cats versus the Sun Devils games as well, too? So much great stuff over there at the TCC. We've got to take a quick break over here. We got one more segment coming up with Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners, talking about their big home opener this weekend in Tucson. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. You are live with host Grant Kruger and Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners. Welcome back, Bob.
Thanks, Grant.
Hey, so you've got a big home opener coming up on both Saturday and Sunday. It was a long off season, as we were discussing, with a lot of twist and turmoil over there and a lot of questions about whether we might be able to save this team in Tucson. And it seems we do have a stay of execution. Is that 2 years or 3 years on that lease deal right now we've got?
We have 3 years, so this season plus two more is what's on the lease currently, with additional years that can be added on after that, or a brand new lease agreed to after that at any time, really, at that point, to kind of work towards extensions beyond that. But at the moment, papered for the next three seasons, so we do have some security for sure in playing at the arena.
And are any of those Roadrunners games moving up to Phoenix at the Mullet Arena, or is it now just all in Tucson 100%?
100% in Tucson. That was certainly one of those things that was out there and being explored, is to see what options were there. It certainly took on a life of its own with some of the Phoenix media, and you know, with, as typically in some of those things, not everything is accurate as you would have liked. The, you know, honestly, it was, you know, being explored and looked at, and there was the possibility of playing at some point as many as six games up in the Valley. But again, I think what I mentioned earlier of the voices of our partners and our fans in this community really resonated and said Tucson's where they need to be, and Tucson is home, and we're able to make that announcement and that move in the middle of the summer, that all 36 home games, every game, playoffs, everything will be right here in Tucson.
As an industry insider, right, and you've got hockey experience your entire life. I mean, you served as executive vice president of the Quad City Mallards, and, you know, worked all over in the American Hockey League with the Utah Grizzlies and Louisville Panthers. What are the chances of getting the pro top-level NHL team back to Tucson with either Alex Marullo or somebody else? Is it done? Is it over?
You know, I don't know. I think the state of Arizona certainly proves to be a great hockey market, and you know, there are so many different stories and challenges and things you could look at as to what happened with the Coyotes in their 25 years up in the Valley, and wherever that turn might have went the wrong way. I think you have to look at it from the size of the fan base and how many diehards out of 5 million people in, you know, in the greater Valley area up there in Phoenix, but statewide even, that became giant fans of the Coyotes and that diehard fan base of it. I mean, when the team left, it certainly was an emotional time and something that impacted a fan base. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, so I experienced that firsthand on the football side of things when the Browns left town. And, you know, it really impacts just so many things, families that grew up watching hockey. And I heard so many stories from people of, this is where, you know, my dad and I reconnected after being apart 12 and 13 years. There was this one young lady that I'd met up there in Phoenix that was telling me that story on the finale, the last game ever played there last year, when I went up to Phoenix to see that game. And it was, you know, emotional and heartfelt. And it was like those memories will never be replaced, and those memories will always stay, but it's almost like a piece of that hockey fandom died. So it's something that I certainly hope and support, and I think the state of Arizona needs that, and I think ultimately one day, you know, the state of Arizona, whether it's, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, I do think the state of Arizona in some fashion will have the highest level of professional hockey again.
Where does the Tucson Convention Center arena line up in terms of quality compared to other AHL arenas that you're playing in over here? Top, middle, bottom?
You know, I'd say in the middle. I like playing there. I mean, it's the only home the Roadrunners have known, so it's truly become our nest, and it's truly become something that I think does create a nice home ice advantage for us. You know, it is an older building, and that's one of those things that around a lot of the markets in the American Hockey League, they have found the ability, funding, whatever you want to call it, to build newer state-of-the-art arenas. So, you know, it's very tough to compare an arena that's 50 years old with something that might have been built 5 years ago. So when you look at the bells and the whistles, the technology that is in some of those arenas, you know, they are newer, so they're going to have that. But when it comes to standing the test of time and providing just a great venue to watch a hockey game, that's what I think the Tucson Arena has. It has that character and that culture that, you know, creates a great experience for our fans. It's nothing colder. It's great, and especially this time of year when it's hot outside. Come on in and sit there and freeze yourself at the arena. And, you know, it creates great acoustics. It sounds great. The fans can really get into it. And I know our players regularly talk about, you know, that as an arena they play in, they really get them going. They love being at home. So it's just one of those arenas, I think, that it's tough to compare in some fashion when you have some arenas that, you know, in Cleveland, Ohio, for example, the Cleveland Monsters play in the same barn that the Cavaliers play in. So there are some larger state-of-the-art arenas that are out there. And then obviously ones that have been built newer. But then there is that one level of arenas that are a little bit older, have a little bit more character to them, and the Tucson Arena falls right into that mold.
Understood. So what else can our fans do to engage with the Roadrunners, right? I've been seeing on the Roadrunner forums on Facebook, they're talking about a flowhockey.tv app over there. And this seems to be a new way to watch the games as well, too.
This is unbelievable. I'm glad you mentioned that, Grant, because I wasn't even thinking about that. But it is for a hockey fan, there is nothing better. It's Christmas every day. What you get when buying the Flow Hockey, it's AHL TV on Flow Hockey. It's a new provider for us. And in the past, you were able to buy like a single game, like as a pay-per-view. You could buy a package that got you just Roadrunners games and had really a menu bigger than if you went to the Cheesecake Factory, right? You're sitting there looking at this and saying, what do I want? And how do I make this work? And why does this one feel like it's less money than this one, but I'm getting more for the less and not as much for the more? This is just one price, one package, and it gets you leagues all across North America. So, you know, yes, we want you to watch the Roadrunners and support the American Hockey League and your home team, but you could watch other AHL games on there. You could watch the AA level, which is the ECHL. We're affiliated with a team in Allen, Texas called the Allen Americans, so you'd be able to watch Roadrunners players that are playing at the AA level and trying to work their way back up into Tucson, just like Tucson players are trying to work their way up into Utah. You could watch those home games. There's junior hockey. There's college hockey. It just covers the gambit, and for a hockey fan, I don't think there's anything better. So I would absolutely run to our website at TucsonRoadrunners.com and check that out, and certainly get your package sooner than later so that you can take advantage of some of their specials and some of that pricing so you can get watching hockey as quick as possible. The product looks great online. You can stream it on your OTT, on your television device, you know, on your Roku. You can stream it. You can watch it on your app or on your iPad, on your mobile phone. There's just great. It's never been better, I don't think, for a sports fan to be able to catch all this content really in every sport. And now hockey's really outdone themselves as well.
And that's flowhockey.tv, F-L-O, no W in that flow, if I'm correct. Right, Bob?
That's correct, F-L-O.
And where do our listeners engage with the Roadrunners? Where can you go buy tickets, find out the team schedule?
Everything through our website at TucsonRoadrunners.com, and I'd encourage all of our sports fans and entertainment fans out there to follow us on all of our social media platforms, keep you posted on all the ticketing specials, all the game dates, anything like that, all the promotions and themes that are happening throughout the year. But you can keep up with all that. But that's just the best way that fans can really support us and make sure we're never in a position again like we were at the early part of this summer to where it was even being considered to move this team out of Tucson. And the best way to do that is to pack the arena. You know, whether it's also out in the community and things we do out there, just get involved and be a part of your team and be a part of this community and really show your support and your interest in the teams being here, because it adds a whole new dimension to the quality of life of the residents in Tucson. It creates dollars in the downtown and in businesses all around Tucson. We just, you know, as an example, have 28 players that just came to town over the last 2 weeks that are now buying houses or renting properties or renting houses. You know, a few of them went out and bought vehicles. And, you know, as they got to town, as there might be new contracts in the National Hockey League that they're getting that first taste of professional money coming out of college. So, you know, we're a part of Tucson, and we need that support from fans so that we can stay that way.
Thank you so much. Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners, saying get involved, get out there, go participate, Tucson. Whether we're talking NIL uniforms for the University of Arizona, whether we're talking Sheriff Department uniforms, or perhaps the most important, the Tucson Roadrunners, and a big one that says Tucson out there. Get out there, support, be involved. Thanks for listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 AM, The Voice, your home for local news and talk.